It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hi, I'm Greg Gutfeld, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Harold Ford Jr., Jesse Waters, and Martha McCallum, the Five. Democrats pouncing on the Canadian smoke monster smothering the East Coast as another golden opportunity to lecture Americans about climate change. The orange haze, and that's not named Donald, still billowing across the country and could last for days. The air right now is harder to breathe than when Jesse sprays on his hair in the green room.
What?
Yes. President Biden finally getting off his butt to do something about it, but didn't sound too energized.
I spoke yesterday with Prime Minister Trudeau, and I've decided I dictated a national interagency fire center response to Canada's request for additional firefighters and the fire suppression assets, such as air tankers.
Trying to put the fire to sleep. Meanwhile, the climate change parrots are chirping away. More high-profile Democrats using the wildfires to push the issue. A progressive congresswoman says, quote, imagine being a Republican climate change denier in Congress. You show up to work at the Capitol today, see the skies filled with smoke, and you still don't get that we need bold and immediate action to save our planet. Ridiculous. And despite the pollution coming from Trudeau's trees in Canada, liberals still claim it's the Americans who drive SUVs that are to blame.
The climate crisis is real, and it is here to stay.
To say it has nothing to do with climate change is naive.
Obviously, I'm no meteorologist. Whether we're talking about wildfires or storms, there are going to be more frequent, more extreme.
If anybody has any doubts, this past couple of days and what we're going to be dealing with for the next few, climate change is here.
These kinds of weather phenomena are happening all around the globe, and it's only becoming more and more common, all because of climate change.
With increasing climate change and increasing warming, we can expect more and more of these kind of wildfires.
So, Martha, one of the things that is always amazing is that people will state that, though, make those statements and never follow up with any data. It's like, and then the pronouncements are not only untethered to data, but untethered to any kind of practical solution. At least Smokey the Bear would tell you what to do. They just say, we are in trouble. We need, you know, we need bold solutions. And then they shut up.
It's crazy. This has nothing to do with climate change, this issue. It's like, hello, put away the graphics. It's like, get the climate change graphic up. We have a story that'll definitely work for. When you dig into this story, you'll learn that it's really about the forestation process, the fact that they haven't been able to do these kind of prescribed burns that they need in order to. It's the same problem that has happened in California. And one of the things that really strikes me now is that there's no longer environmentalism that is driving people who care about the earth.
Right.
It's not about environmentalism, because if it was, then you would have people taking care of the forest because they would be concerned about the animals that live there. You have to go in, you have to clear out all the underbrush, all the dead growth. You have to make sure the trees grow. You have to do the logging that's required in order to keep the forest healthy. And I see this in so many ways. It's just all about oil. If it doesn't have to do with oil, then they don't care about it at all. Mm-hmm. That's why we have wind turbines that are threatening the whale populations. That's why we have cars that are being built with batteries that have toxic things in them that no one knows how to get rid of it at the end. But it doesn't matter because it's about the oil and the gas. So it's become so myopic that they're kind of forgetting. I think about Teddy Roosevelt and even Robert Kennedy Jr., who talks about actually cleaning up the rivers. Yep. And real environmentalism, which appears to be lost. Just throw up the climate change graphic and we're good.
I know. You know, that it's a good point about RFK Jr., because when he talks about environmentalism, he talks like somebody who actually uses the environment,
yes,
that he loves the earth. Meanwhile, almost all of these activists don't do anything.
No.
Right.
They don't. They spend all their time indoors like you, Jesse.
Are you saying Joy Reid's never been camping?
I don't think. Well, you know what? I don't know.
Are you saying she's never been canoeing, backpacking, splunking? Do you know what that is?
Yes.
That's cave exploration.
But environmentalism, true environmentalism, has been replaced by ideology.
Yep.
You could be a Democrat or Republican, yeah, but not anymore.
Well, and also it's about money, too. So if you want some statistics,
yes,
from 1706 to 1910, there have been 20 so-called dark days or yellow days where the average people, they don't have TV back then, go out and then at noon it's dark or it's yellow. And these are phenomena that have happened over the last 200 years, well before the automobile. So this is normal. And what they're doing is they're preying on ignorance. Not everybody knows that burning forests from Canada has blacked out North America dozens and dozens of times over the last 300 years. They're banking on people not knowing that. I talked to my meteorological sources, and they said that there are normal temperatures in Canada, normal precipitation in Canada. There has been ordinary weather in May in Canada. This is not some extreme hot winds that has taken over Canada. This is a normal Canadian June that, because of lightning strikes and campers that put out their camels in a dry bed of poorly managed forest, that's what's happening. And so Joe Biden's taking advantage of this to push the Green New Deal so people like his donors can get paid and not people like ExxonMobil that usually donate to Republicans.
You know, Harold, in the green room, I was shocked when you said that you believe these wildfires were started by the burning of banned books from Florida.
I thought we were going to keep that conversation to ourselves.
I bet you have a different outlook on this topic.
No, I largely in line. I would say the forest management issue is a serious issue. But what we can't deny also, I think, is that the data that you present there, Jesse, 1706, I think, to 1910, I think it'd be interesting just to look from 2005 to 2023, the increasing frequency in which we're seeing some of these occurrences. Now, we can debate.
Well, they're actually down. We talked about that last night. Over the last 100 years, these forest fires are down from about 4% to about 2.5% worldwide.
So the occurrences of droughts, which contribute to the reason I think we need some of this forest management. My only point is I think we can do both. Two things can be right at once, even if it causes a little tension or consternation. We should be doing both of these things to the extent that it makes sense, meaning is it economically viable? I would agree. I think, Martha, you're right. Some Democrats who are critical of these things and want to raise the climate change issue are really doing it because of an aversion to fossil fuels, which I don't have. But I understand where they're coming from. But I always try to figure out the core of someone's answer. And even if I don't like some of their motivations, there's no doubt forest management is a problem. The occurrences of these kind of weather abnormalities are increasing. The quote you told yesterday, I think some Democrats would find that uncomfortable to know that there were dark days back in the 1700s and there were no combustible engines. That we'd be kidding ourselves if we don't believe that we are contributing to the ozone layer depletion. We'd be kidding ourselves if we're saying, well, whatever it is, whether you agree we are or not, something is. And I think we've got to try to figure that out. And while we try to figure it out, even if we can't agree on it, we ought to agree on steps we can take to try to reverse it. Forest management has to be a part of it. And we have to get serious about wondering, why are these droughts occurring? Why are hurricanes more likelier happening across the country? And for that matter, why are we having these weather abnormalities across the country? These are questions I think public policymakers should be thinking about if they can subtract out some of the politics.
But the problem here, Judge, is that if they do actually have some kind of meeting of the minds, then all of these activists are out of a job, right? They have to have this us versus them thing.
Everything is about us versus them. Mm-hmm. You can talk about spaghetti in a supermarket and they'll figure out some way to divide it into
rigatoni.
The left.
Yeah, rigatoni,
the other guy.
Screw spaghetti.
Okay, but you know what? But the thing is, if these environmentalists, I mean, it's not just the environmentalists, right? The climate change is the latest pretty issue that we're going to dump billions into. We've already dumped billions into. But if they're so concerned about the environment, you know, what they're saying is, you know, that they're not involved in the controlled burns where you get rid of the underbrush. To Martha's point, what you were talking about, the United States, in order to protect forest and to take care of those areas that are in danger of burning, we've done 150,000 controlled burns. Mm. Okay. Do you know how many Canada's done?
12.
23.
That was close.
Okay.
Michael Jordan.
Canada is just like Gavin Newsom. in terms of how he was handling forest management. And then they want to blame it all on climate change. It's not about climate change. It's about your ability to see what's going on and to prevent it. And maybe they don't want to do any of this because they want to save the spiders who are under the wood, who are under the ground in case they have a controlled burn. But let me tell you one more thing. This reminds me of Palestine, Ohio, that we have moved on from. Mm-hmm. We suffer for 2 days and we're all in a tizzy. Right. These people in Palestine, Ohio, suffered and will continue to suffer. And they've been forgotten. OK. And the last thing I want to say is this. Joe Biden gets up there and he says, we're going to put together a national interagency fire response to work with Canada. No, you're the president of the United States. They have done something that has harmed people in the United States. Another president would have said, what are you doing to stop this? Mm-hmm. Why is this happening? This is a serious health hazard for the people in my country. But what does Biden do? He joins the wrongdoing. He creates this ideological issue and says, well, put more money in it. Mm. Our money.
There you go. I'm old enough to remember 10 minutes ago when she said she didn't know what she was going to say today.
I didn't.
Hey, is there, do trees have a gender?
We can give them one.
No, it's just, I'm just curious. Is there a he, she, or are they non-binary?
Yes, some of them don't have.
Because that's where the money should go.
Yeah. That's like, have you ever had, like, a gardenia tree? Some of them don't blossom and some
of them
do.
There's another one, though. Like, two holly trees, you have to have two.
Mm. Right, to get them to, yeah, you know how it works.
There you go.
Jesse, you got an opinion on this?
Well, I just saw one time there was a tree that, like, grew into another tree.
Right.
And they tangle up.
Yes.
You know what that's about.
Yeah. All right. Up next, Gavin Newsom making another threat to throw Ron DeSantis in jail over migrants.
This program is brought to you by from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Want to be tough guy Gavin Newsom says he's not kidding around when it comes to his threat to lock up Ron DeSantis. The Florida governor testing Newsom's tolerance for being a sanctuary state after sending him two flights of migrants to California's capital. Newsom whining to the media after claiming to be inclusive.
He's just weakness masquerading as strength. Yeah, he's flailing, desperate for attention. And he had to go to another state to find people under false pretense. I don't think this, I know this. I talked to the migrants.
Should he be worried that law enforcement officials in this state are going to arrest him when he walks off
Come
the plane?
On, now we're getting into hyperbole. The bottom line is,
well, just
we're for accountability.
I mean, I don't think it's hyperbole. You're the one raising the issue of criminality, potentially.
We, potentially.
Well, what Governor Slickster fails to mention is that everything was voluntary. Florida officials releasing a video showing they helped migrants in Texas go to Sacramento, and then they had their verbal and written consent to do so. The migrants even got to go in a party bus.
Aww.
Check out the purple lights. Ron DeSantis punching back at Newsom.
These sanctuary jurisdictions are part of the reason we have this problem, because they have endorsed and agitated for these types of open border policies. And they have to deal with some of the fruits of that. They all of a sudden become very, very upset about that. Well, what are these people having to deal with here? Yeah, I don't see the sympathy for them.
Kidnap me and put me on a party bus.
You know, party bus is very deceptive. It looks like fun. But if you're not wearing a seatbelt, it's a death bus.
It is.
It's a death bus. I think that what now, you know what Gavin Newsom reminds me of? When there's somebody who's on Twitter who is trying to raise their profile by coming after somebody and just hitting him, because he knows that DeSantis is like, he's the most effective, successful governor in the United States, and Gavin's the worst. So he's basically, you know, he's basically heckling him on Twitter. This is what he's doing. And it's a joke because he won't arrest any thieves. He releases, you know, criminals early, and now he's threatening, you know, to, yeah, he puts on his Axe body spray. buttons a shirt. Now he's, you know, Rocky Balboa going after whatever. By the way, he is wrong, too. Illegal immigration is at a porous border is not a local issue. It's a national issue. And it's not a stunt to marry a national problem with a national issue, which is what those buses did. If Newsom is too chicken to step up and pitch in and help these other governors, which is what in a national emergency you would do, he should go back to the French Laundry and yell at the masked help while slurping on foie gras.
I believe it was an MSNBC anchor. Good for him. He's like, you're the one that brought up kidnapping.
Yep. Yep. No, I love that. Look, even yesterday, I think it was yesterday we spoke about this. I said, I don't even want to talk about the statute. I mean, that's just ridiculous. But, you know, it's interesting. Newsom is criticizing Ron DeSantis. Ron DeSantis has a state that has added 319,000 Americans, people who want to give up where they're living to go live in Florida. Gavin Newsom has a state where 343,000 are moving out because they hate California. And for good reason. I mean, if you go to San Francisco, one of the most beautiful cities in America, I mean, you take your life in your hand. I mean, forget about it. And it is Gavin Newsom is just the guy trying to get attention. He's the little guy. And, you know, he has consistently freed people directly without even involving the parole board. I mean, and, you know, he wants to criticize Ron DeSantis. But that whole idea, they have the consent forms. Everybody had a good time. And this is a classic. The administration, the Democrats were sanctuary cities. God bless all of you. Come to us until they have to walk the walk. And he's just picking an issue to try to make a name for himself. It's absurd.
Politically, why does Gavin Newsom go after Ron DeSantis? Why doesn't he go after Donald Trump?
Well, I don't know the answer to that. What I understand, that I think, what motivates your question. I don't understand why adults can't be leaders. The two of them have been elected to lead two of the most important states in the country, if not two of the three most important states in the country. Both of them are reflections of their respective parties. They seem to be more committed to the cathartic than they are to the strategic. We have a problem. It's obvious what the problem is. We talk about it around this table often, I think intelligently, I think with some enthusiasm and sometimes with a little disagreement. These guys only want to engage in stunts. Mm-hmm. And it's frustrating and maddening because we've outlined the elements of a solution here. And for some reason, and there are others that are too, even Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who went down to the border, gave us pictures and gave some narrative around how we could begin to solve some of these problems. I hope they get a little what they want to get out of it, both Newsom and DeSantis, to try to advance their own personal political agendas and political athletic personas. But you're not doing anything to help those migrants that you're concerned about, nor are we doing anything to protect our border.
And Gavin could be attacking the president, so it's pretty convenient to go after Ron DeSantis.
Yeah, I agree with Greg. I think this is all an exercise to elevate himself. I think he is preparing to fill a void, should a void arise. I think a lot of people wonder whether or not President Biden, although he obviously has declared that he's running for president again, and that's the current status of his political situation, I think a lot of people wonder whether or not he actually will in the end. And so I think you see Gavin Newsom saying, I'm going after DeSantis. He's young like me. He's a successful governor from another state. And I'm also serving my party if I can ding him in this process and, you know, have Donald Trump be the candidate. I believe that Democrats think that Donald Trump might be the easier person for them to run against. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I think this is a very deeply political and sort of and completely driven by his own political ambitions.
Yeah, he only gets press when he attacks Ron DeSantis.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But he should be welcoming people. He's a sanctuary city. He should be saying, oh, thank you so much for sending them on the buses, because it's exactly what it's that I wanted.
You can say, you're cruel, Ron. We'll take care of these people.
Of course we'll take them. Yeah. That should be the answer if he's not a hypocrite.
Yeah. All right, up next, squad member Cori Bush thinks if you're against going woke, you're a racist.
Well, she's walking.
The Chase Inc. business.
Say our love won't pay the rent, for it's earned our money.
What a great song.
Okay, here we go. Squad member Cori Bush making some very controversial comments about people opposing woke policies. The Democrat throwing gasoline on an already hot issue. Watch this.
When you say I'm anti-woke, when you talk about wokeness, you're saying I'm anti-black and I don't want black people to speak up for themselves. I don't want equality and justice for black folks. You should be on the side of folks who are woke because we're saying no more oppression against our community. Unless you are saying I'm racist, white supremacist, and I'm bigoted, stop talking about wokeness. And you can't tell me that I'm wrong because I'm from the very movement where this came about. Don't let a fascist tell you what being woke means.
Okay. So it really comes down to this question of what woke is. And I do think that people define it in different ways. So, Harold, I wanted to ask you first, what do you think woke is? And is she defining it correctly?
So I disagree with the congresswoman for a couple of reasons. First, I have no clue what woke is. I hear people throw it around and use it, and I've said it on this show. I believe that Republicans talk about people being woke. Democrats think of everything as toxic, and then they want to cancel it. I don't even know how to define all of those things. Two, just because you disagree with me on an issue doesn't make you racist. I think we've reached a point in some of our politics and some of the political conversations we have, especially as people get further and further away from one another, depending on the side of the aisle they sit on, that race quickly, almost reflexively gets invoked whenever there's a political conversation. So I don't accept that. Three, I think the universal truth that has to be embraced and has to be talked about more is that we're all part of a human race here. And we can have differing opinions, be it climate change. We can have differing opinions. Be it how we educate kids, we can have different opinions and likely should about health care and how we pay our bills as a country. But we've got to understand we're not going to get to solutions if we keep automatically, reflexively invoking race all the time when it has no bearing or no relevance to what we're talking. So the congresswoman, I don't know, but I disagree with her.
You know, it's going to be an issue in this GOP nomination process, Jesse, because Ron DeSantis, one of the things that he has deeply ingrained in all of his speeches is that Florida is where woke goes to die. So she's painting it in this light. How do you see it?
Well, if someone ever asks DeSantis to define woke, he better have a good answer.
Yeah.
Because it's not easy to define it succinctly. You know, it's that song, Greg, where it's like you think this song is about
Carly
you?
Simon, You're So Vain.
You're so right. Vain.
She thinks woke's all about race. It's not. There's so many other factors. You got the radical trans pronouns, people changing in locker rooms. You got attacks on masculinity, attacks on capitalism, attacks on police, attacks on traditional values.
Is it the new political correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
But it's really an attack on my ability to be judgmental. You have to be able to be judgmental in a society and say, this is morally wrong or this is morally right. Because if you can't say that, then everything goes. Everything's permissible. And it's like cultural relativism. Nothing's better. Nothing's worse. Everything's just blah. And that's how civilization dies. I do agree with her that we have to stop oppression, but you don't stop oppression by oppressing other people. You don't just bury all the straight white guys and pee on their grave. We can work together to make other people successful. And she does have to acknowledge this. Sometimes where people are is a result of all the decisions that they've made. Some people in society have to take accountability for where they are in society. It's not because they're being oppressed. Maybe it's something that they have done or they have not done. But we do know that in the United States of America, the sky is the limit if you make the right choices.
Well, that's the argument, Judge, that Tim Scott was making. And yep. Sonny Hostin basically said to him, the litmus test is this. Do you believe the country is systemically racist or not?
Right.
Right.
Right. You know, it all comes down to, as everyone has been saying, it all comes down to race. You know, the Dems need to stop acting like they own all the black voters. That because you're black, you're definitely agreeing with them. I think one of the interesting parts of this segment is that there were Muslim children in the schools who were allegedly or claimed to be on the side of white supremacists after they spoke against the sexuality discussions and materials in the classroom. And the Muslim children and their parents, didn't want to get involved in this transgender nonsense. And then they called them white supremacists. You should be with us. You should be woke. So I guess it's not just about race. It's also about if you don't agree with everything you say that we're saying, then you're a white supremacist. If you don't agree with transgenderism, you're a white supremacist. But they just look, Cori Bush herself is someone whose business it is to divide. She's the one who initially wanted to defund all the police. She then used her own campaign money for someone to defend her. I think it was her husband that she gave campaign money to defend her. And he's not a security guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everything for me is the way I want it. And you don't matter. But they're wrong. They're just wrong.
Well, I have to commend Harold. I thought your answer was like dead on perfect. And within it, you defined the wokeism succinctly, which is seeing everything through the prism of race. Because if you look through the prism of race, then it's oppression politics. One's an oppressor, one's the oppressed. The interesting thing about it, though, is anti-woke, it's not anti-black, it's anti-stupid. I mean, it's anti-woke is anti-stupid. And stupidity knows no color. Because, and you notice this, the loudest, wokest people aren't black, right? They're white female liberals. And I mean, this is my opinion only. I don't have the science, although I probably could find it. I think it's replaced a certain, like, amount of meaning in their lives. This is a replacement for maybe a lack of religion or a lack of family. And that's why clinging to wokeism is so important. But if you, it's like what the judge said, you look at Armenian families, right? You look at Muslim parents, black parents, they're all pissed off. They don't want their kids joining some neo-Marxist cult. They don't want the sisters or perverted indulgence, you know, stripping in their classrooms. It's why you got to look really hard to find a black mugshot in any file on Antifa. They're all really miserable white people who had lousy relationships with their parents and are just troubled people. Wokeism is, in my opinion, anti-black because it relies on this power dynamic model, oppressor versus oppressed, and I can't imagine a worse mindset for success because no matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody to blame but you, and that is not a winner. That's a loser. If everywhere you look, it's somebody else's fault, you are a loser.
Yeah.
Blame yourself.
Being woke is an excuse.
Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, President Biden's $500 billion student loan bailout is getting its own bailout after Republicans tried to kill it.
When the Samba takes you out of nowhere, when the background...
Unacceptable.
It's the way you love me. It's a feeling like this. It's centrifugal.
Joe Biden trying to protect his bribe to young voters by vetoing the Republican bill that would have scrapped his $500 billion student loan giveaway. Biden bashing the GOP while announcing his action, but oddly failing to mention the Democrats who crossed party lines to vote against his bailout.
Folks, Republicans in Congress led an effort to pass a bill blocking my administration's plan to provide up to $10,000 in student debt relief and up to $20,000 for borrowers that received a Pell Grant. I'm not going to back down on my efforts to help tens of millions of working and middle-class families. That's why I'm going to veto this bill.
Biden has created quite the student debt mess. Federal loan payments will restart soon after being suspended during the pandemic, and the Supreme Court could still kill Biden's bailout. Okay, Greg, How is this fair? I mean, that's all I have to ask.
Yes.
That's good.
Well, unlike Harold, I'm not a lawyer, but like Harold, I am sexy. And when you're sexy, you can tell quite easily that this is unconstitutional. This is pure theft. We have a demented Mr. Magoo trying to take your money and giving it to potential voters, as you correctly called, a bribe. So I was, you know, think about voters and the kind of debts they have. Biden is targeting left wingers with lousy degrees, right? That's the bribe. You know, the Republicans should do that for carpenters, contractors, plumbers. Call it the Truck Loan Forgiveness Plan or TLF.
That's catchy.
That's very good.
And it's roughly the same cost, $250 a month for your truck loan. And then I think that would be equally as powerful. Also, I'd be for student loan forgiveness if it's the schools that pay. Because if the schools had to pay, they'd cut the fat, all the administrative, the bureaucracy, the diversity departments, and colleges' tuition would then drop down to the rates that it should be, like, say, 20, 30 years ago.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right, Harold, now you get your chance. The interesting thing is that...
I largely agree with Greg.
Yeah, see?
Okay, well...
All I had to do was call him sexy. Let me say,
so I think...
It works every
so
time.
The issue here, and the judge knows this, is this major questions doctrine, and whether or not this is spelled out plainly and clearly enough from Congress for these agencies to have this sweeping authority to transform our economy. If you look at this court has already decided a matter on this involving the EPA, and they decided that the administration did not have the authority. And it's likely they're going to probably come down the same way here. To Greg's point, I hope they all go back to the drawing board. Why not make loans or make monies available for people who want to be cops, for people mm-hmm. who want to be nurses, people who want to be truck drivers, for men and women, for those who want to be engineers like plumbers and electricians. This is the need in the economy. I'm always about trying to find ways to use public dollars to advance strategic objectives. And this is an objective that needs to be advanced, and we should do everything we possibly can to bring them in. And so that sounds like I'm parroting Greg, and I am. The last thing, they should hold these college presidents accountable. Bring them before the Congress and help allow them to explain why these massive increases over the last several years. What are our kids getting from it? Mm-hmm. What jobs are we creating? What innovation is it now? Some of them may have good answers, but I've not been persuaded that these increases over the last 5 to 10 years that we've gotten the return on the investment that we as taxpayers are expected to pay in this, and for that matter, what students and families are expected to pay in these exorbitant. You and I got a long way to go with kids going to college, and I can only imagine what the cost will be like at that time.
You know, Jesse, in 2020, something like 60% of 18 to 29-year-olds supported Joe Biden. Yet this group that was once his best demographic apparently is now showing the largest drop in support. So he can't buy them anymore either.
Well, he might try. And what is it with Biden and bribes? He takes them, he gives them. This is not how politics is supposed to be,
sure
Joe
it
Biden.
Is.
It really is unconstitutional reverse class warfare. But what he's doing is he's leaving the universities off the hook. They're the price gougers. And he knows that now the way the parties have flipped over, the more education you have, the more likely you are to vote for a Democrat. So he's pushing all of these young people into universities. They get brainwashed there, and then he wipes their debts for votes. It's really shameful, and the Supreme Court's going to knock it down.
Yeah. Martha?
Well, I'm pretty sure, I mean, all throughout COVID, people's loans were forgiven and delayed and delayed and delayed. And I'm not even sure if that program has kicked back in yet, because I know some young people have been, you know, going to the website to see if they actually have to put a payment in, and they didn't yet. So on top of that, you have this student loan, which I think in the midterms, and it may have shifted, as you say, in terms of the support from younger voters, but I think in the midterms, abortion and this student loan bill were the two biggest factors for young voters. We saw it in Michigan. We saw it in Wisconsin, in these big college areas where there are concentrations of young voters in those places, that they cared about this a lot. And when the Biden team read the polling on how popular this debt loan forgiveness thing was, they were like, have a dog with a bone. We are not going to let go of this thing.
Bribes are popular.
Yep. Yeah,
free money's popular.
Yep.
You didn't need a poll to know that.
All right. Thank you. Up next.
You're welcome, Judge.
Former SNL star Pete Davidson is warning why you shouldn't do drugs before making big purchases. See that story and more in the fastest.
'Cause a Mississippi girl don't change her ways, just 'cause everybody knows her name. Ain't big headed from a little bit of...
The Subway Series is getting up.
Welcome back. Time for the fastest. First up, kids, here's another reason why you shouldn't do drugs. Pete Davidson admitting that he was very stoned when he and fellow SNL star Colin Jost bought a nearly $300,000 ferry. The comic also saying that he's clueless about the current state of his purchase and even joked that it might have already sunk. You have strong opinions about these kind of purchases, Mr. Gutfeld?
I mean, you should never buy anything when you're high. Do you know who told me that? Bill O'Reilly. But this is amazing. There are two things you should never purchase when you get into new money, like he did. A bar, which I did, which was stupid, lost all my money, and a boat. He managed to smush a boat and a bar together. And that is the dumbest thing you could ever do. But it makes you feel better about every dumb purchase you did when you were drunk, like when I bought Jesse's book.
Judge, do you have any opinions about things like
that? No, I mean, I just think it's ridiculous. I mean, obviously, $300,000 didn't make a dent in his bank account if he doesn't even know where it is. I mean, talk about first world problems. And, you know, I don't shop like that.
Good to know. Jesse?
Yeah, you don't buy things when you're high. You buy things when you're drunk. And I went shopping at Saks one time after a few cocktails. I bought, you know what suede is?
Yes.
I bought suede.
Suede what?
A jacket, shirt. I went on suede shopping spree. Brought home, returned all of it.
You did?
I can't wear suede.
What did you say? It didn't fit or you were drunk?
It looked good.
I got drunk on suede.
I felt good, too.
I'm sure the guy was like, that looks amazing.
Yeah.
Like, you're
just and they tell me how things are right.
Oh, I think I'll do you have any more suede?
Martha, bring all the suede to the changing room.
You have suede pants, maybe?
Have you ever made a suede purchase?
No, but I was excited about this purchase. I thought it would be a fun place if Colin Jones, if those guys turned it into a fun bar in Staten Island. I also think it was sweet that they're both from Staten Island and Jones rode the ferry every morning to school. But I thought it was really funny. One of the comments about it said, like, you know, that the people who run the ferries and actually know how they work is full of cockroaches and all kinds of terrible things. It's disgusting. In really bad shape, and it has no windows. You really can't see very well out of it. He said the two guys with money who don't know anything about maritime vessels. So there you go.
So it's one of the most embarrassing things that can happen to you. Sending texts to the wrong person and mistaking a stranger for someone you know. You ever done this, Judge?
Why did you come to me first?
No, because you're...
Okay, yes.
Okay, you want to elaborate at all? You just...
No.
Yes. Martha, have you done this before?
Yeah, everyone has done this. It's terrible. And you know what? The worst way to get caught in it is the group text. So you know how, like, if you text three people, then it becomes a group, right? So then you think that you're texting that person, their name comes up, and you send something, you go, oh, my God, I just sent that to the entire
to the group.
Yeah.
Group thing.
It just happened to me last week. I was trying to text Kevin McCarthy, and I text Paul McCarthy instead. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, telling him about the debt ceiling. And he's like, what are you talking about, Jesse? Oh, it's like, Paul! See you in London.
That's Paul McCartney.
Paul McCartney?
McCarthy.
You make me sick. Okay, this morning, I texted a picture of my dog to Dr. Siegel when it was meant for my wife, Elena. And now I'm worried what I texted to my wife that was meant for Dr. Siegel.
Oh, no.
I think it was like, how many sedatives do I sprinkle into yogurt?
You have to have him on your show now to make up for that.
That's a good one.
How many sedatives do you put in the yogurt?
One more thing is up next.
What?
Who is a man that would risk his neck for his brother, man? Can you dig it?
$11 a month.
Hey, Jesse.
Eating frenzy. Let's see the cheesy animation. Pizza Hut has a new creation, the pickle pizza. It's sauced with buttermilk ranch, topped with cheese, crispy breaded chicken breast, seasoned with a kick of Nashville hot seasoning, sliced white onions, and then loaded with spicy dill pickles and a drizzle of buttermilk ranch to finish it off. No one's taking this seriously. Fine. I'll have a slice. Martha, here, there you go.
Is
this different part? Pie? This is chicken here?
Limited time only while supplies last. $17.99, 8th Avenue, New York City, June 9th to 11th.
Look at Greg Gutsell.
Good boy. Thank you for participating.
Is
there chicken on it?
Prime time tonight.
Oh, my God.
Exclusive UFO footage.
Tell him I'm on your show tonight.
And Janine Pirro.
Holy crap.
You've done good UFO coverage.
Thank you.
I like that.
That is disgusting.
There's something. Yeah,
oh, my God.
What's
the spice?
It's buttermilk.
No, there's something spicy in this.
It looks orange.
Yeah, it's hot. It's
what
a hot
it?
Crap in it.
What is it?
Nashville hot chicken.
Nashville hot seasoning.
Ooh, that is a little chicken. Hot. On the seasoning. On the chicken.
All right. That's the, tonight, I got, who's on my show, if I'm still alive, Tom Shalhoub, Charlie Arnault, Lee Zeldin, Kat Timpf. That's a barn burner. I'm going to save my fitness tips so I can get... Oh, okay. Let's do this. Never wear shoelaces or pants on a treadmill. Check out this lady.
Oh, no.
Her pants actually fly off, and it was, it's so funny.
But wait,
watch this. Watch this.
No.
Watch this. Watch.
Oh!
We had to cover it with Jesse's face.
Oh, God.
What?
Because, yeah,
do it was, that again.
It, yeah.
Can you do that with Harold's face?
Oh, no, no.
Yeah.
Why does it have to be my face?
Because that's where we usually find it.
I want to see that again. So, Martha, how does that happen?
All right, Harold.
Oh, my SNL star Kenan Thompson taught retired NHL player P.K. Subban to do his how to do his famous knuckle puck trick. Thompson played Russ Tyler in the Mighty Ducks trilogy almost three decades ago and was known for stunning goalies with his iconic slap shot. Watch this. It took the former Devils defenseman a few tries to flip the puck on his edge, but he eventually figured it out and launched it into the net. Look at there.
Wow.
That...
All right,
that's
where
phenomenal.
Do I go? Judge, you got 20
that's
seconds.
That's phenomenal. Okay, I'm on Jesse. I'm on Jesse's show tonight, and I'm on the 6 o'clock show.
It's called Brett Baier Special Report?
No, the Bottom Line.
Mm.
And that's it.
Sorry, Martha.
Looks okay, like... here it is. There's another
time.
Jason in the House, the Jason Chaffetz Podcast. Dive deeper than the headlines and the party lines as I take on American life, politics, and entertainment. Subscribe now on foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Listen to The Five ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.